Coming up on KUCB News, outgoing city councilor John Waldron calls Unalaska's deputy police chief a convicted liar, and more. Stay tuned.
Local news is sponsored by Alpha Welding and Boat Repair Incorporated, providing boat repairs and conversions in Unalaska Dutch Harbor for the last 25 years. Our professionals are trained to use heavy-duty equipment, including boom trucks, shears, brakes, a water jet cutting machine, and a punch machine. Our fully equipped metal fabrication welding shop and machine shop are located at 1149 East Broadway. Alpha Welding and Boat Repair can be reached at 581-1785 or 581-2666.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Zoe Sobel with some local news on Wednesday, October 11th, 2017. Outgoing City Councilor John Waldron has ended his term with a verbal attack on the Unalaska Department of Public Safety. At last night's City Council meeting, Waldron called Deputy Police Chief Jennifer Shockley a, quote, convicted liar.
Jennifer is not who she claims to be. She is a convicted liar. You can go to the State of Alaska Court view, and you can see that she was convicted of making false statements. In law enforcement, that's a big deal.
Waldron's accusation comes amid a City Hall controversy that started when Shockley created an anonymous online survey earlier this year, asking Unalaskans to rate their satisfaction with each city councilor. Since June, councilors have expressed frustration with the survey and tasked former city manager Dave Martinson with investigating whether, as a city official, Shockley was allowed to create it. Waldron went on to criticize the entire public safety department. The former police officer questioned their integrity and urged them to subpoena records regarding Shockley's survey.
The police department isn't always what it says it is. They can make accusations, they can force things. But that's what occurred with me. So I'll talk from my personal experience.
Shockley wasn't in council chambers when Waldron spoke, but says she's concerned about the attack on her credibility.
But I do hope that the 27 years that I've spent in this community and the 17 plus years that I've spent with the Department of Public Safety don't give the community much cause for concern.
Court records show Shockley pleaded no contest to a non-criminal charge of making false statements in 1996. Waldron says he learned about Shockley's conviction decades later during a hearing in October 2016. But Shockley cannot discuss that testimony, which she gave before the Alaska Police Standards Council, because it is related to personnel actions.
People can talk about their own personnel issues, but as a administrator for our department, there's very little related to personnel issues that I am free to discuss without some very specific waivers.
Shockley says concerned Unalaskans can schedule a meeting with her and Public Safety Director Mike Holman to discuss the issue further. Meanwhile, the three outgoing city councilors didn't let their failed re-election bid stop them from taking action on divisive issues at their last meeting. Rochelle Hatfield called for the city to start negotiating a preferential use agreement with Matson Shipping Company despite public pressures to open a wider bidding process for the city dock.
I would like to issue a directive to the interim manager and new city manager to enter in negotiations with Matson regarding the issuance of the PUA.
Only Councillor Roger Rowland spoke against moving forward on the contentious issue before newly elected councillors could be sworn in. His opposition was met with applause from community members.
I don't think the outgoing council should force their decisions on the incoming personnel. Thanks.
Any other discussion?
The directive was approved 4-1 with Rowland as the sole dissenter. Afterwards, Unalaskans voiced their frustration with the council during public comments. Here's Dee Montier-Burke.
I'm pretty ashamed of the way that you guys are handling yourselves tonight. I think the community spoke fairly clearly who they wanted making their decisions for them, and three of you up there were voted off the island, so to speak.
Recently elected Councillor Dennis Robinson also weighed in.
It's kind of disconcerting to see the outgoing council push some things that deeply divided the community. I guess we got our work cut out to hopefully straighten stuff out.
At the end of the session, Roland apologized to the public over an objection from Mayor Frank Kelty.
I'm sorry, as a council member, for some of what the council has done tonight. I promise to work with the incoming council members, and we'll try to do better in the future.
Well, I don't think there's anything to be sorry about, Roger. And
My comment wasn't directed to you, Frank. It was directed to the community.
Onalaska's new city councilors were sworn in after the meeting. Sherry Coleman, James Fitch, and Dennis Robinson will begin their terms Monday. Opponents of the proposed Pebble Mine in Southwest Alaska are getting a boost from Democrats in Congress. 42 members of the U.S. House and Senate wrote President Trump today and asked him to overrule EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt. This spring, Pruitt announced plans to get rid of Special Clean Water Act protections his predecessor imposed to protect the Bristol Bay watershed. The lawmakers, led by Senator Maria Cantwell of Washington and Representative Jared Huffman of California, said a mine would threaten Bristol Bay's world-class fishery and thousands of American jobs that rely on it. Pebble Limited Partnership has argued the EPA's use of the 404C provision in the Clean Water Act wrongly blocked the mine before the developers even had a chance to apply for a permit. The partnership recently announced a scaled-back mining plan, far smaller than the massive open pit operation the owners previously outlined in a financial disclosure. The letter comes a day after CNN aired an 8-minute story on the issue.
The meeting at EPA headquarters was brief and to the point. By the time it ended, a mining company hoping to dig for gold and copper got just what it wanted.
The CNN report focuses on the EPA administrator's quick decision to remove the Obama administration's protections for Bristol Bay. The reversal came before the scientists and professional staff of the EPA had a chance to brief him and directly after a meeting with Pebble CEO Tom Collier. Collier told CNN this was about due process, not science.
I don't have a friend at EPA. What I've got is somebody who's following the damn law.
The EPA's comment period for the proposed withdrawal of the Clean Water Act restrictions ends October 17th. In their letter, the Democratic lawmakers ask for a 90-day extension. The Trump administration kicked off plans to drop President Obama's Clean Power Plan yesterday. The regulations didn't apply to Alaska, but its goal was to curb climate change, and Alaska certainly has a stake in that. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin looks into how the Trump administration discusses climate change and what that means for Alaska.
When asked about climate change, the nominees for senior posts at the Departments of Interior and Energy have very similar answers. The climate is changing and humans play a role, but how big a role, they just can't say.
Mr. Walker, do you believe that human activity accounts for the majority of climate change since the Industrial Revolution?
Here's Bruce Walker, now Assistant Energy Secretary, responding to Senator Al Franken at a confirmation hearing last month.
I think there is a contribution from man. I couldn't quantify exactly what that is.
And here's Douglas Dominic, an Assistant Secretary at Interior.
I do agree that the climate is changing and that man has a role.
Their written responses were even more uniform. Susan Combs, an Interior Department nominee. I believe that the climate is changing and that man has an influence. Brenda Berman, another Interior nominee. I believe that climate change is not a hoax and that man has an influence. Joe Balash, an Alaskan nominee for Interior. I believe climate is not a hoax and that man has an influence. Over and over, the nominees acknowledge humans have an influence or some impact on climate. But they won't go as far as American science organizations, which have for years said human activity is the primary driver. Some Trump appointees do acknowledge sea level rise is damaging coastal communities. White House Homeland Security Advisor Tom Bossert says the administration is committed to dealing with the effects of climate change, just not the causes.
Right now, I will tell you that we continue to take seriously the climate change, not the cause of it, but the things that we observe.
David Hayes was Deputy Interior Secretary in the Obama and Clinton administrations. He says the uniform responses of Trump nominees suggest senior staff will not be free to make decisions based on science.
That signals to me that they're not going to have the the discretion, the wherewithal, the air cover to bring the resources to the table to help those Alaskans that are rightly very concerned about what's happening to their coastline, to their fire risk, to their wildlife, et cetera. And that's just not right.
President Obama made climate change a major emphasis of his second term. For evidence, he repeatedly pointed to coastal erosion in Alaska villages. But the boost in high-level attention on rural Alaska was not paired with a lot of funding to meet the need. And now the White House attention is gone, too. President Trump has called climate change a hoax and has announced he will pull out of the Paris Climate Agreement. He shows no sign of making climate change a priority.
Let's be clear about a couple things. The public doesn't care that much about global warming.
Frank Masano is a communication specialist at the Washington Policy Shop of the law firm Bracewell, where his clients include big energy companies. He says when Republican politicians and nominees say man has some impact on climate, they may mean a range of things. He says nominees have assistants to help keep their written answers in line with the administration, which explains the uniformity. Masano says many lower 48 Republicans just don't have that much experience with the question.
Because this just isn't that big of a priority issue for them. And they see it as not that big of a priority issue because the politics surrounding it hasn't been a priority issue for their supporters.
Masano says Alaska leaders seeking government help for the effects of climate change should make their most compelling case. But he points out Republicans and Democrats like infrastructure.
I think certainly the climate change case is going to be less. It's going to be less well received in this administration because this administration is different than the previous administration in terms of where they stand on it, and there's no one should be surprised by that.
Despite the rhetoric, there hasn't been a complete about face on the ground. State of Alaska employee Sally Russell Cox works on village relocation. She says so far, the same federal agencies are still cooperating with her.
I don't want to jinx any of it because, you know, maybe it's that it hasn't come to somebody's attention. I don't know.
That could change. The Trump administration is not fully staffed yet. At Interior, only three presidential appointees had been sworn in by early October, out of 17 positions requiring Senate confirmation. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Zoe Sobel. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org. Please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecast.